that particular city. It says that that Shechem is one of the most honored people in that city. How so? He was a sinner just like the rest of them, and can't see that he would be honored, but he was honored in that culture. Hamor and Shechem were deceitful to Jacob and his family, or to the Shechemites, or both. They never told the Shechemites that the deal was primarily for Dinah to be Shechem's wife. And they misled Jacob and his family because they told the Shechemites that, you know, if we make this deal, all of their stuff will be ours. They'll be a part of us. And so they deceived Jacob and his people as well. Their intent was not to become Israelites, but for Israel to become Shechemites. You know, and I've talked about this before in the class, how dangerous that is to have such strong associations. You know, if they intermarry with them, that's going to be bad for the Israelite sons and their families, because Shechem is not going to become like Israel. It's going to be the other way around. Israel will become like the Shechemites. And that's the way it is in our lives as well. If we spend the majority of our time frolicking with unbelievers, and I'm not saying that we should never be with unbelievers because we work, we live in our neighborhoods, but we ought to be a light to them and not go along with them. And the danger is when we spend too much time that we become more like them. And I've told you how there were situations where I felt like that was happening to me because I was spending too much time doing things with people that were unbelievers. And the Lord showed me that, and so I ceased doing that. Let's look at Simeon and Levi. Simeon and Levi were driven by their fierce anger and cruel wrath. And I use those words because those are the words that Jacob used in Genesis 49:7 when he blessed all of his sons just before he died. I'll show you that passage when we get a little further in the lesson. Simeon and Levi profaned the sign of the Abrahamic covenant in order to accomplish their revenge on Shechem. This was a sacrilegious act. It's blasphemous. In fact, when you get to Romans chapter 2, write this down, Romans 2, verses 23 through 29, and read that this afternoon, and you'll see what God says about circumcision and how it's circumcision of the heart that matters, not keeping of the law, not the things that that Israel would do. So here they're profaning this sign of the covenant, and it is a very blasphemous thing. Simeon and Levi, in the end, showed disrespect for their father Jacob. There's no respect for his concerns. They were unrepentant for their own sins. And they should have honored their father in spite of his weaknesses. Now let's take a step back just a little bit and look at the big picture, because when we see a story like this, certainly there are lessons for us to learn. And we've gone briefly over these some of the things that we saw and some of the people in this story. But the big picture is what we've said before, that God is redeeming a people for His Son, by His Son, to His own glory. That's the theme of the Bible. So in every chapter, we should see that happening. And in this chapter, we see that happening as well. God could have allowed disaster to come to the people of Israel. But he did not allow, he allowed them to decline, but that was only to show that they needed redemption. And so when you get to, as I said before, verse 1 of chapter 35, says, then God said to Jacob, arise and go to Bethel and live there and make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau. Saying to him, Jacob, get back on track. Remember my covenant with you. And God didn't choose Jacob and his family because they were righteous. They were not. God chose and blessed Israel because he is a covenant keeper. Look at this verse, these two verses in Deuteronomy. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any of the peoples. And I would add to that, or because you were righteous. For you were the fewest of all peoples. But because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which he swore to your forefathers, the Lord brought you out by a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. That's talking about coming out of Egypt. But here we're talking about coming out of Shechem, where he's called them out to come back to Bethel, come back to the house of God. Next thing is that the seed of the serpent is ever active in attempting to derail God's chosen family, the line of the seed of the woman. And, of course, we've talked about that frequently in this room about Genesis 3:15 and how God is going to send the seed of the woman, which is Christ. And all along the line, Satan is aware of what that line is. He knows that Jacob has been blessed. He doesn't know which one of the boys it comes through at this point. But God is active in doing that. Satan is equally active in trying to derail that. If they had intermarried, and that was the proposal, if they had intermarried with the Shechemites, the nation of Israel would be lost because it would be absorbed in that other culture. And when we see what's happening with the children of Israel, God keeps them separate. And in fact, as they grow into a nation, he takes them down to Egypt, where they become a great nation there. And there they are odious to the Egyptians. They didn't intermarry with the Egyptians because God placed them in a place where they could grow as a nation because he's going to use them as a nation. So God protected them from the Shechemites. You know, I think about what happened there what would have happened if they made this agreement and Simeon and Levi all of a sudden lost their courage to go kill all of them? Then they have an agreement to intermarry with them. But the Lord didn't allow that to happen. And so we need to see the big picture there. Third thing is that the Lord God is patient and merciful, but does not overlook sin. And I want you to look at this verse, because this is when Jacob blesses his sons. He first talks about Reuben and talks about how he sinned, and we'll see that in the next chapter as well. Here he's talking about Simeon and Levi are brothers. Their swords are implements of violence. Let my soul not enter into their counsel, and thus saying he's not a part of what they decided to do. Let my glory be united with their assembly, because in their anger they slew men, and in their self-will they lamed oxen. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. And I will disperse them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. And we see that Simeon becomes one of the smallest tribes, and it shares land with Judah. It's not like the other tribes. And Levi, even though they were the priestly tribe, were also scattered. They didn't have a land of their own. They had cities that were given to them. God blessed them in spite of the curse that is upon them here. But God deals with sin. And this was many, many years later where the judgment was pronounced upon them, looking back to this time in Shechem. That's part of the big picture here. All right, you have that on your sheets, but I just want to say in closing that, you know, when I began this chapter, I was actually, people said to me, are you really going to do this lesson on Mother's Day? And, you know, I had questions about it myself. But as I went through the lesson, you know, I thought, you know, this really is a good lesson for Mother's Day, because one of the big things that happens in this story, the thing that allows it to happen, is that there was a father and a mother who failed. This was a failed family. And I thought looking at this as a theme statement is appropriate. When parents do not exercise their God-given family leadership and responsibilities, it can cause great harm to the family and great collateral harm. It can cause great spiritual harm to the family as well. But God in His mercy and grace preserved this failed family, not because of any merit in them, but because He is a covenant-keeping God. When I think about this story and I think about the failure of Jacob and I look at my own life, and you can look at your own life, many of you were raised in Christian homes, I can tell you that I'm very thankful to the Lord for the father and the mother that He gave to me and how they led me, and you can be thankful for that too. Some of you didn't grow up in Christian homes and may have had a failed family. And you need to be thankful, too, that the Lord has brought you out of that. And you need to honor your father and your mother. And then, of course, if there's anybody here who is a father or mother, this is an opportunity for you to follow the instruction of the Lord. See the negative example here and don't follow that example. Show leadership in your family as fathers and as mothers. You also show leadership with your family as well. And you lead your children in a way that they should go. Let's close this part in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your word, and it is profitable for us because Your Spirit deemed it proper to put it in the Word of God, and Your Spirit takes that Word of God and then teaches us with it. Thank You for the lessons that we can learn as Your people, as fathers and mothers, as grandfathers and grandmothers. Help us to be those that would lead our families in a way that is pleasing to You. Lead our families in a way that shows that we depend upon You. And just pray that You would bless this time to all of our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.